We are coming to the conclusion of the Holy Father's historic document, his apostolic exhortation to consecrated persons on consecrated life. The focus, as you notice, for the last section of this exhortation is on the apostolate. Speaking to yourselves as handmaids of the precious blood. I cannot either repeat too often or emphasize too strongly the contemplative life, the life of, as we say, the cloister, is, in the most emphatic words, an apostolic life. All the spiritual demands, all the rules and directives on growing in holiness, all are a means, comma, I repeat, a means to a further end. That end is to bring grace to others. The Holy Father speaks of what he calls the new evangelization. And in one declarative sentence, the new evangelization, stress on the new, is not more work, not more, as we call it, apostolic activity, but a closer and deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. The next question, remember, was, what is the option for the poor? While the poverty toward which we are to direct our apostolate includes emphatically those who are physically, materially poor. One day in Calcutta, and I've spent weeks over the years in Calcutta, they'll tell you, we in the United States, and I mean every syllable, are living in a dream world. Most of the human race is living, and I use the adjective consciously, living in desperate poverty. The estimate in that one city, as I'm sure I've said more than once, of people sleeping on the streets, on sidewalks, is 1 million every night. The police come along in the morning, kick the body lying on the streets or on the sidewalks. If it stirs and gets up, the police go on. If the body does not move, they pick it up, throw it into a truck for cremation every day. We We talk about mortification. He writes learned books about asceticism. I repeat how much we have to learn about what is poverty. No idea never enters our minds that most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. But as I try to briefly point out, this poverty is not only or mainly material or physical. It is a desperate spiritual poverty. And among those who are in desperate need of being fed God's truth and nourished with God's love are His priests, Christ's priests. Remember, we picked out the adjectives afflicted, oppressed, the oppression, the opposition to good priests today in allegedly developed countries like ours, you don't read in print. It's real. Fifty years ago, priests needed, over the centuries they have needed, prayer, sacrifice for God's grace, to be provided by generous souls who live lives of total dedication to the service of Christ's priests. But the need today, no adjective I use would be an exaggeration, is cosmic. Let me go on. How was the gospel made effective? And remember, the Holy Father's emphasis is here on the apostolate. The gospel is made effective through charity. But once again, it is not mainly charity in the amount that, say, we give to others to provide for their needs. This charity is mainly a deep interior love of others in order to show our love for God. We love God only. This is an article of faith. We love God only as much as we love our fellow human beings. And the more price they exact from us in our love for them, thank God, the more thereby we love God. Without reading every word of what you can read for yourselves, and of course Behind this catechism is the document of the Holy Father, and each section numerically identified. Serving the needs of others is already evangelization. And I repeat, these needs, of course, they are material. But they are mainly and deeply spiritual needs. In other words, we are only as apostolic as we meet the spiritual needs of other people. And no matter what the precise character of our apostolate may be, this applies to all institutes of consecrated life. I'll keep repeating until early tomorrow morning. And the primary focus of our apostolate is our own fellow religious. In other words, Holy Father tells us, this, meeting the needs of others, and I repeat, the spiritual needs of others, what is the greatest need that we have from other people? I'll let you think for a few moments. The greatest need that people have is to be loved. How we need that. It is people's love for us that confirms our faith. Indeed, it even underlies our reason in both believing and knowing that God is love. How people with whom here we live, how they need to experience our love for them. Thanks, sisters, for having only your face exposed as religious. Thanks. But as I've said, long before I was even ordained a priest or learned such theology as I know, women mainly show their affection or lack of affection by their faces. The eyes, the lips, and the frown on their faces. Women speak with their faces. Casting one's eye down can be a mark of humility. But casting one's eyes down can also be a lack of charity. The Holy Father quotes Saint Gregory the Great. When charity lovingly stoops to provide, even for the smallest needs of our neighbor, then does it suddenly surge upward to the highest peaks. And when in great kindness it bends to the most extreme needs, then with much vigor does it resume its soaring to the heights. Somebody dropped something. Well, she dropped it. Let her pick it up. Subtle, almost infinite number of ways in which authentic love is shown to others. And I keep repeating, this is our main apostolate as consecrated persons. Let me be a little more clear. We are to pray, but our prayer will be only as effective in bringing grace to others as we are persons who are living lives of selfless love. All the mouthing in the world, in pious, as we call it, prayer, will be useless unless our hearts truly love, especially those with whom we live. Home. If only there were a respite. But no, 24 hours a day. Now, to go on. What is the apostolate of health care? I won't dwell on this, except to thank you, sisters. In over 20 years, I have seen your community practicing what I don't hesitate calling heroic love of your fellow sisters who are in need of what we casually call health care. As I've said so often, except for the Catholic Church, there would not be a single hospital in the world. But as we know, there is just so much that we can do for a person's body ravaged by disease, up in years, the body can be improved, restored in bodily health only, well, so far. The single most important element in health care is the selfless love shown by those who, as we casually say, care for those who are in bodily need. I think I've said this before. I'm in counting my hospitalizations. It is now about 26 over the years, with major surgery within 1 month of my entering the novitiate. I've come to distinguish two kinds of nurses. I think I've said this before. Those, what degrees and certificates they can have behind their names. Nurses who have been sick and hospitalized themselves, and those who have not. What a difference between caring for the body of those who are ill or in bodily need, and what shall I say, caring for the soul of the person whose body is weak, in pain. It is souls touching souls. It is souls caring for souls. It is souls healing souls. That is the heart of what we casually call health care. Holy Father won't let go. What are some of the directives of the Holy Father for consecrated persons devoted to the care of the sick? Remember, as consecrated persons, our lives of prayer and sacrifice include the whole world. The Vicar of Christ tells us, to give a special place in our ministry to the poorest and most abandoned of the sick, such as the elderly, those who are handicapped, marginalized, or terminally ill, and to the victims of drug abuse and the new contagious diseases. I think I should say it. The laws of the United States not just provide, but require that those with contagious diseases must both be examined by the medical profession, and their contagious condition must be made known to others, for the obvious reason, to protect other people from their own contagious disease. Oh, talk about a paganized nation. There is one exception. There is no law demanding those who have what we quietly call the AIDS disease. Extremely contagious. And the homosexual, better. The sodomite, power in the United States, has tied the hands of our government. What is one result? Millions of children are conceived and born with this disease. How we need, dear God, how we need to pray for the leaders of our society, and I have to say it, for the leaders of our society in government and in the church. How emphatically the Holy See tells me, orders me, sends me, tell bishops, in the name of God, exercise your authority, speak out. If there is one virtue that you should pray that bishops and priests might both possess and exercise, it is the virtue of fortitude. And of course, be ready to pay the price for the courageous, shall we call it, outspokenness. You may wonder why the Holy Father gives so much attention to the, well, to consecrated life in its concern for and care of those who are ill. So the question, are health care centers to be evangelized? I know of no single profession in our nation that has been more deeply de-evangelized, de-Christianized than the medical and the nursing professions. I have given retreats both to medical doctors and to nurses. Says the Holy Father, consecrated men and women have a special mission to evangelize the health care centers in which they work. They should do all they can to make the practice of medicine more human and foster respect for the person. I may have said this on some occasion, just to make sure. I will just identify the state, Wisconsin. A large community of religious women, sadly secularized. Several hundred sisters, both the aging and those who are ill in bad health. Instead of their own religious taking care of these sisters, high school girls were, shall I say, hired to come in during the lunch period, and then in the later hours of the afternoon. The sisters were removed from their beds. Some deathly ill, and put into chairs, and the beds were covered with metal mats to keep the sisters from crawling back into bed. Part of my work for the Holy See over the years has been to report on the inhuman, what word shall I use, neglect among secularized, once good communities of religious, to put it mildly, neglecting those of their own religious, either up in years or poor in health. And the more time and energy you spend in the care for your own aged and sick, the more you are expiating what I don't hesitate calling the crimes that over the years have been committed in neglecting consecrated persons who have given their lives in the service of teaching, healing, and caring for the people of God. Now a new section, prophetic witness. There is some strong language which the Holy Father does not hesitate using. We ask, what is the prophetic character of consecrated life? Says the Holy Father, it is proclaiming the truths which God revealed to everyone, even, thanks Holy Father, even to the pastors of the church. Consecrated persons are to proclaim these truths by their own deeply spiritual lives, by their intimacy with God in prayer, and by speaking for God against evil and sin. That last one, sisters, needs to be underlined, and we should all examine our consciences. And the key word is against. What we know is evil and sin. We should speak for God, but against this evil and sin. I know how well I know that women can't correct offenders. My mother, thank God, corrected and punished, and it caused pain to her sometimes wayward son. Thank you. Father, are you saying, you can't be saying this, are you saying that we sisters should correct, reprimand priests and even bishops? Yes. How we need loving, very loving religious women, but courageous. You may smile gently when you do it. But if it needs doing, comma, do it. I know what I'm talking about. The single deepest influence on priests and the hierarchy, and an influence that is causing untold damage to the Church of God. The single deepest influence is of women. Do you still hear me? Bishops, unreachable. Mother faithful, one woman after another, you call the diocese, want to speak to the bishop, the call is transferred to another woman, want to speak to the bishop, the call is transferred to another woman, I want to speak to the bishop. I'm sorry, he is not available. Who makes him unavailable? The woman. Twenty-9 years in working now for the Holy See has taught me a mountain of some painful information. They, that's consecrated persons, should not hesitate, says the Holy Father, to denounce, quote, all that is contrary to the divine will. Oh, the stories I could tell. Most of what I know, obviously, I can never reveal. But I'm giving you a most important premise of your apostolic life. Use your God-given women's influence. It is tremendous to help the Church of God. My, I need not add these words kindly. Kindly, gently, but firmly. Not just correct. Holy Father even uses the words denounce. We go on. Our last question for this conference. How effective is evangelization? The prophetic evangelization of consecrated persons is only as effective as their own lives are faithful to the teaching of Christ and His church. It's not merely, as we've said so often, giving a good example. It means that Christ will use us as channels of His grace, and I keep repeating the adverb, only in the measure that we are truly consecrated. And that's why we're making a retreat. We must constantly renew ourselves in the light of the Word of God. Strange wording, but important. This is ongoing consecration, or if you wish, ongoing conversion. Whatever else you derive from this retreat, I beg you to faithfully make your daily examines of conscience and be sure to look into the depths of your souls and before God find, and it's always going to be there, find where you have failed. I don't mean in blatantly having sinned, but in failing to give yourselves as completely to Jesus as He who died for us on the cross deserves our loving, selfless sacrifice. In one declarative sentence, we are only as consecrated persons as we're living lives of giving up our self-will every moment of the day, sacrificing what we want to the will of God, except for whom we will not even have a will. And in the measure that we give up ourselves to Him, in that measure, and that measure only, will He use us as the conduits of His grace, every person whom we have met even for one split second. We meet people for one reason, to be channels of grace to those whom God, even momentarily, places into our lives. Lord Jesus, how much we consecrated persons have to learn. How much we have to learn about our own selfish selves. How much we have to learn that in the measure that we surrender ourselves to You, in that measure, You will both give Yourself to us and through us to every person whom You place into our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.